This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we're glad that you are listening in today as we're doing something different on Faith Matters. It's generally our custom to have guests with us here in the studio, but instead David and I today are taking a different tack, and we're going to have several guests with us, and those are going to be the voices of several people who have been former guests and have said especially provocative things that David and I would like to chew on a little bit more together today. David, I'm looking forward to this because so many things of real substance have been said on this show. Sometimes that you just feel like you want to stay with it a little bit longer. We get that opportunity today.
I think it's a great opportunity, and I'm happy we're doing this. I think our listeners will find it very, very interesting, and I'm glad that they're joining in.
One of the things that has been said by numerous guests has been a kind of a tagline of a distinction between religion and relationship. A number of guests have said something to the effect of, I'm not religious or I don't want to be religious, but I believe in relationship. We're going to hear a clip from Sam Medina, who is the city attorney here in Lubbock, who is going to, I think, describe what his understanding of that distinction is and how it has changed his life. Let's listen to Judge Medina.
I always go back to that 16-year-old young man who realized that I had religion but no relationship with God. And then I heard my father-in-law, the man that became my father-in-law in years later, he said, you know, relationship is what God seeks. Religion is man's attempt to try to get to a relationship. And he says, you got to make that connection. And as a 16-year-old, it finally hit me that I needed a relationship with God through his son, Jesus. So every morning when I wake up, and the older that I get, I'm beginning to understand grace more. I have this undeserved, merited favor of God, this salvation, and that feeds me every morning. As God is my witness, this morning when I looked out the window and I was thinking about 10,000 other things that I've got on my mind. And just the sun and the trees and everything reminds me that, you know, this is the day the Lord has made, and I like to add that he made it for me.
A number of guests have said what Judge Medina has said. What is it, do you think, that they're meaning by that?
I like what he said because I think it captures a struggle very often in the human heart and in the lives of good people who don't necessarily see themselves as being religious in a traditional sense, but yet they long to have a relationship with God and for that relationship to bring a deeper meaning to their relationships with other people, be it their family, be it their neighbors, be it the world. I thought it was fascinating. He said, you know, the early part of his life as a young man, he had religion, but it didn't necessarily mean a deeper relationship with God. And he said, quote, relationship is what God seeks. That's fascinating stuff.
I think that this distinction between religion and relationship, that's a language that I grew up speaking kind of in evangelical culture. One of the things that as a 16-year-old, when I first really became a Christian, this was a language that was spoken, religion versus relationship. I thought about the distinction between outward religious forms, going to church, dressing the part, saying all the prayers in kind of a dutiful manner, but then does it change my life? And so I could look around and see a lot of people I knew, whether they be my neighbors or family members or whatever it may be. And I'd say, well, they go to church, they dress the part, they do all these things, they may tithe, whatever it is. But is that a person I would want to be like? I think that's getting at what these people are saying.
Ryan, you remind me of the three rules of being a good Catholic. You know what they are?
No, I don't.
Pray, pay, and obey. But then beyond
those
that,
those are the same rules we have in the Baptist Church.
But then beyond that, there's got to be more, and I think it points to this, that in our world there is a deep longing in the lives of people to have a relationship with God and for it to be meaningful, particularly in a world that has a lot of brokenness. People long for that relationship. They want it to have meaning. But at the same time, many of those people have a disdain for religion. And I think there's a lot of churches now that even promote themselves as religionless, as places of worship and faith where people can come and form and build community. But they're doing it outside of the conventional way of practicing religion. And there's something, I think, very appealing about that approach.
When you say worship, you're saying that worship, is it a religious act or is it an act of relationship or can it be both?
Yeah, I don't know. Every now and then I drive to, say, from here to Dallas, and I'll come across a couple of different places that say the Cowboy Church.
Right.
And they look like maybe barns that might have a steeple on them or a cross on them.
Minimal religious symbolism.
But I say to myself, how creative, because there is a need there and it's being met. Those people are being talked to and approached in a way that appeals to where they live and where they are as human beings. I wonder sometimes about religion's capacity to do that effectively, or do we just expect people to conform to the religious tradition?
Right.
Now, I mentioned the Cowboy Church because that, to me, is a way of conforming. It's the other way around. It's making religion conform to the need. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think that even in Jesus' day, he talked to a community of people who were, it was very religious, tithing the smallest of things and being very strict about various religious observations. But then he says, you know, you're sort of missing the point. You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is still dirty, and there has to be some kind of heart change. And I think sometimes we're so in our heads. A lot of religious practice is the outward form of what is on a more conscious level, but there's something that has to be deeper.
I couldn't agree more, and I think one thing, that it's a very valuable conversation to have, quite frankly, because I think we live in a time where religion very often has disappointed people.
Yeah.
People will look at it, and whether it's the authority figures in religion or whether it's religious institutions and structures, they see a disconnect between that and their own lives. But then they see, too, hypocrisy. And I think this is a conversation we can pursue and continue.
I think, for me, I just think I don't want to get rid of religion altogether, but I do want my religious practice and observances to be relational toward both God and also other people. I feel like that's getting at the heart of the kind of person of faith I would like to be. Wonderful conversation. We've got to wrap this segment up. We will come back here in just a moment to listen to several other clips from previous guests. You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
Faith Matters is brought to you in part by supporters like these: Skagen Dickey Chevrolet Buick Subaru, Hospice of Lubbock, serving the South Plains, Happy State Bank, happy to be in the Hub City, and Second Baptist Church, thriving, inclusive, spirit-led.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz. Brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Ryan Price along with David Cruz. And today we are doing a special show where we are revisiting a number of former guests and bringing back their voices and sound bites to listen to some very provocative things that have been said on the show. Today, we've been talking a little bit about relationship with God and what is meant by relationship. And one of the most interesting guests that we've had thus far was Melanie Oblender, who is the director of palliative care at Covenant Hospital. And she's someone who sees tending to patients who are in their dying days and sees this kind of relationship in the way in which it's negotiated with death, But then she herself sees this from a more objective point of view because she says that she is, quote unquote, not a real God person.
I'm not a real God person, but as I have watched people, I see that they get a lot of strength from their faith. And I am willing, because I believe that there is a God. I don't know particularly what to call him or her, but I believe that there is some divine being up there. And however my patients decide to manifest their faith, whether it's to pray to Allah or to Jesus or however, I believe there's probably only one up there, and I guess he won't care what we call him. So I can get into the faith and what your belief system is, because really I think that there is something good there. And I have to say that since I've been doing this work, that I believe that there is something good beyond what I know in some other realm.
That is a very fascinating quote. I think one of the most provocative things that's been said on our show by a guest, Melanie Oblender. I'm not a real God person, and yet she speaks about this relationship thing that she witnesses.
How ironic. She says, I'm not a real God person, and yet I see her as someone who leads and helps others go to God when they transition from this life to eternal life or the afterlife, whatever you want to call it. I think she's a real instrument of making that transition happen for people.
You know, one of the interesting things about that quotation was that she says she's not a God person, yet she believes in a God. She leaves that God sort of open-ended and not necessarily absolutely nameless, but a sense in which there's some mystery there. And yet there's this tension in what she's saying. Do you find that in your work, that there's a lot of people like Melanie?
Ryan, I find it in myself, because I realize that the longer that I am a priest, a minister, but also a friend, a brother, a son, a uncle, I find very often that my ideas of God are limited. I struggle. Who is God, or what is God? And how does God work in the universe and in my life? And I'll tell you, sometimes he stumps me, because he does things very unexpectedly. There's a passage in the Bible that says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. So to hear Dr. Oblender talk about when she witnesses this in the dying, do they pray to Allah or to Jesus or to some divine being up there, and we don't know, I find that to be true. I think if we're honest about it, we have to say, hey, we don't have this figured out.
Right. One of the things I notice over and over again is the people who die well die with some sense of humility before the mystery of God, a sense of trust, assurance, what I would call relationship, but there's not a sense of triumphalism, because that's one of the things about death is eventually we recognize we're just not going to be able to fight any longer. And that brings you to, I think, a profoundly new experience.
One thing, and it's a very sacred thing, when you are with a person who is dying and they're able to speak to you, I've often referred to it as kind of getting in the cocoon with them. And it's a real privilege to be there. But honestly, in all the years that I have had the experience of praying with or listening to someone who's dying, I've yet to hear anybody say to me, I wish I had amassed more material possessions. I regret not having that second or third home, or having taken that dream vacation or that big screen television or whatever material things we very often long for to make our lives happier, or at least we think they will. But I have heard people say, I regret not having loved better. I wish I had said, I am sorry more. How I wish I had more time to tell my wife or my children or people in my life how much I love them.
At the end of life, there is a kind of revaluing and reordering of all priorities, and a sense of one's place in the cosmos. You begin to realize that whatever you've accumulated really ain't going to amount to much in comparison to wherever it is that we might be headed. And you use this language of cocoon. Now, that's a transformation image that you're using there.
It is, and I like the metaphor, because I think sometimes death has a way, or the prospect of death has a way of enveloping people. Not only the person that is nearing death, but the people in that support system, so that, as in a cocoon, you don't see beyond the present moment. You're enveloped in sorrow, sometimes despair, sometimes hopelessness. But then, hopefully, very often, the joy of knowing that there's something beyond this life that we cannot see that is beautiful.
That we cannot see. Now, that's an interesting statement, because I think it calls, again, for humility in a sense of recognizing that there's a lot we just don't know. And one of the things that Dr. Oblender raised is, to what degree can God be known specifically? Is God Jesus? Is God Allah? Is God Holy Spirit? Whatever it may be. And when we come back, we're going to turn our attention to that conversation, as we will bring in the voice of the local imam. You are listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are today in the studio not with one particular guest, but rather with several former guests, or at least their voices, various sound bites that we've had from previous guests, and provocative thoughts, one of which, David, we just heard in the previous segment coming from Dr. Melanie Oblender, who is the director of the palliative care unit at Covenant Hospital. That means she cares for dying people. And one of the things that she said, which may be controversial in certain segments of our listeners, is she said she wasn't really sure God really cares whether or not, or by what name we call God. And that sort of begins to point us in a direction of this world we live in, which is multi-faith.
Which is one of the reasons, Ryan, that I'm glad we had on the imam who spoke to us about the anatomy of a mosque and the dynamics of how people in the Islamic tradition pray. And we're going to listen to that soundbite, and then we're going to come back and comment.
Here's a clip from Imam Samir Ata'aba.
Normally when you go to a mosque, people, they take off their shoes at the entrance because the mosque is a sacred place, and we pray on the ground over there too, on the carpet, so we always keep it clean and sacred. The mosque, as any other place of worship, is a place for peace, tranquility, and worship of God. Mosques play a big role in Muslims' life, because we visit the mosque like on a daily basis, at least two or three times a day, every day. As an imam, I go there like if you have five daily prayers, we pray five times there. People here in Lubbock, it's difficult for people to come to these five daily prayers, but mainly they come to the night prayer and morning prayer. It's recommended that the prayer to be offered in the mosque, but people can pray in any place.
Hearing the imam, not just from that clip, but throughout the course of his interview, I feel like, as a Baptist clergyman and as a Muslim cleric, we have a great deal in common with one another. That's one of the things I appreciate about this show, this common humanity that is represented. And then when he begins to talk about the purpose of the sacred, a place for peace, tranquility, and worship of God, he could be talking about a Christian church.
It was fascinating. I remember the conversation well, not only when he spoke about the five prayers in Islam and how they gather at the mosque every day to pray, but also he said and made this statement, but people can pray any place, because he said logistically it's almost impossible for all of the people that share the Muslim faith to go to the mosque every day. And I thought, what a beautiful notion that we could all learn from, that any place can be a cathedral, any place can be a sanctuary when you open up your mind and your heart to God. Of course, for them, God is Allah. For you and me, God is the God of Jesus. For the Jewish tradition, well, God is Yahweh. But I thought it was a great, great notion.
Do you think God cares? I mean, that's going to be a fundamental question on a lot of listeners' minds. You call me Allah, you call me Jesus, the God of Jesus, whatever it may be. My question will be, does it matter to God?
Well, do you want to hear a politically correct answer, or do you want to hear the truth? The truth is, I don't know, because I obviously, who can know the mind of God? But I would like to think that because he made us all to be his children, that he loves us all, and that however the human heart opens up to him and prays to him, he is such a loving and merciful God that he'll understand. That is, whether we refer to him as Allah, as Yahweh, as the God of Jesus, whatever your way of praying might be, we're all his children. And that's something we can all agree on, I hope. Therefore, he's our Father. And I think he would listen to the human heart that prays and that is open to him.
You, sir, are a master at getting pinned down in some way, working yourself out of the hole. That was pretty good, David. You know, one of the things I was thinking of as you were speaking is what we call God, how we think of God. My daughter always called me Dad, but she's been taking Spanish and has taken a Spanish language immersion program and now comes home and sometimes calls me Papi, and I don't care which one, but I know that she loves me. And that kind of gets back to that whole thing, religion versus relationship, that we began this episode with.
I like your story very much, Ryan. I think the reason she can call you Papi or Dad or Father, because she has a relationship with you that begins, the starting point of that relationship is love and then trust. And I think it's an excellent metaphor, whether you realize it or not. And it hits home what we're talking about. Ultimately, God will listen to the prayer of a good person and to a person who opens him or herself up to him, her. And it's beautiful. It's a great example.
Some time ago, a particular Christian group said that God would not listen to the prayers of the Jews. This was back, I think, in the 1980s or 90s. And I just thought that that was so very, not only offensive, but just simply wrong. And, you know, I really believe that God not only listens to the prayers of Jews, but even answers them. I would say that same thing about Muslims as well, even though I recognize that's a controversial statement in this political climate that we have that is post 9/11. But what we're all called to is tolerance and respect and a sense of humility in saying, I don't know everything that there is to know about God. I know the God of Jesus Christ, and I try to listen to him and follow in his ways. And in that sense, he was far more open-minded and inclusive than so many of his followers have been.
It's so sad, and it's actually strikes at the heart of intolerance, which is not what Faith Matters is all about. We do these programs because we hope in some way we're making a contribution to a deeper understanding about some of the differences that we have, and we have to be honest about those differences. Ryan, we're not the same.
Sure.
Our faith traditions are not the same, but yet we can sit in this studio week after week and we can do a program, and we have an awful lot of similarities too. But one thing that we both underscore with all of our guests and then in conversations that we have is we're an awful lot alike, and we have to be very tolerant of each other's viewpoints. Otherwise, gosh, that would be such a sad commentary on the world, because the world's already fragmented enough. We need common ground. We no longer need
sure.
to. We don't need any more fragmentation.
Sure. I'm thinking of the time Jesus was walking into a village and he was rejected, and his disciples wanted to burn the village down with thunder and lightning. And he says, no, that is not our way. We're striving for a better way. I have so enjoyed this particular program because we've got a chance to talk a little bit more and also hear some profound things from former guests.
Thank you. I agree, and really appreciate the opportunity to have so many folks that follow the program, their support, and we look forward to continuing.
We'll do this more. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. You can catch this program and previous programs on kttz.org.